Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Sad day. Goodfellas star Ray Liotta dies at 67. Actor Ray Liotta, who is best known for his leading role in Martin Scorsese's 1990 crime classic Goodfellas, has died at 67 years old. Liotta reportedly passed away in his sleep while shooting a new film, Dangerous Waters, while in the Dominican Republic. Liotta's publicist, Jennifer Allen, said that Liotta is survived by his daughter, Carson, and his fiance, JC Nittolo. Liotta was on a big resurgence, Deadline reported. Recent turns included The Many Saints of Newark, Marriage Story, and No Sudden Move. He finished the Elizabeth Banks-directed Cocaine Bear and was due to star in the working title film The Substance opposite Demi Moore and Margaret Qualley. Yeah, sad. Goodfellas is one of my favorite movies ever, and I'm sure it's one of yours if you saw it. Goodfellas may be the best movie of all time. It's definitely top 10, and Ray is a massive part of why his portrayal of a coked-out mobster coming-of-age story resonated with the hearts of so many of us trying to make our way in a violent world with the devil nipping at our heels. A real original, the soul of the man spoke volumes through those eyes, and that laugh goes down in meme history and will for many years to come. Far too many are dying far too young, mysteriously in their sleep. It can't be ignored, lest you bury your head in the sand. I don't want to go too far into it, and I don't know what his status was, but with each untimely death, many of our minds go in one direction. And it's not disrespectful to the memory of anyone to acknowledge the elephant in the room. Far too many seem to be leaving, suddenly and strangely, to just ignore it. Each week I read Mark Crispin Miller's Substack about those who have died suddenly. He does a weekly report of this. And it's intense. I recommend Mark Crispin Miller's Substack in any event, but that section of it is really mesmerizing. The media doesn't report them. You wouldn't know unless you're looking. 40% uptick in working age deaths this year should be a front page concern, but it is all but ignored. Why? Ray was older, 67, sure, but that's still too young these days. And for a guy with ways and means, it's strange. Ray was great, and he made it to immortality anyway. One of the all-time greats, actually. A lucky and blessed life that gave us all so much. Rest in power, Ray. I'll be thinking of you from time to time, looking for those helicopters flying overhead like some looming danger we can't quite see, but know is all around. After I wrote that, I found out about two more losses today, which make the elephant in the room even bigger. Alan White, age 72, died today, the drummer of the amazing band Yes. And also, Andy Fletcher, age 60, of Depeche Mode, passed away. Again, seemingly suddenly. No cause offered, just gone. Every day is a gift. Depeche Mode was one of the greatest 80s synth pop bands with deep classic soul and class. It's a shame that things are playing out this way. Rest in peace, gentlemen. We'll be right back on TNT Radio.
We're not exactly mind readers, but
they say what I'm thinking.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Honk for freedom, honk for joy, honk for love. Canadian truckers on a convoy from up above. Andrew Pelosi and Jeremy Rigotto made a documentary. Truckingforfreedom.com, the century's best documentary. Oh yeah, cause it's about trucking for freedom. Truck for freedom, truck for love, and honk for grace. Canadian truckers fighting for freedom for the human race. Welcome, Andrew. Welcome, Jeremy.
Man, that's you're amazing. A beauty, dude. Thank you.
Now, let's get your last names correct. Andrew Peloso and Jeremy
Roboto. You got it.
And Jeremy Roboto, my name is now Mr. Roboto for the sake of this interview, just so. I am Mr. Roboto interviewing Andrew Peloso and Jeremy Roboto. This sounds like a Styx song. Anyway. Sorry guys, I just couldn't resist. You're, so are you guys brothers or what's the story?
No, we're not brothers. We just feel like it.
Yeah, it just comes across that way.
It totally comes across that way.
Okay. Well, listen, I watched part one today, and it's amazing, man. Congratulations. It's really an incredible work, and I love the way you ended it on the phone call. That's just genius.
Oh, man, thank you so much. Thank you for watching it, and we got a long road ahead. We got a lot more editing to do, but yeah, that's chapter one. It was hard covering 2 years of policy into 40 minutes, so we did our best.
You did a great job as somebody who's like inundated with policy of this nature all the time. I thought, man, these guys are doing an excellent setup to the whole, you know, narrative unfolding. I really liked the part where they were trying to, like, where you were explaining what you guys were doing to one of your friends. I forget exactly who, but, and she was like, oh, you mean that white supremacy group or whatever. And then you were like, it couldn't have been further from that. It was like bouncy houses and a celebration. And it's just the way the media paints these things is so crazy. Don't you think?
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible how, you know, it's really crazy leading up to this adventure that we went on to Ottawa and the time we spent there. We always knew that there was some type of narrative in media, some type of misrepresentation, maybe some type of reasoning behind what we were being told. But this story really blew it right out of the water for us. Being there, seeing nothing but love, hope, and happiness, and this unity that we experienced, and then hearing on legacy media conversation about racists, neo-Nazi, violent truckers that were taking over the Capitol, and it was wild. It was actually wild, and there has to be a big part of this that we'll be introducing in the next chapter about media misinformation.
What's your take on why that is happening?
That's a loaded question, man.
I know, bro. That's why I asked it in that unassuming, aw shucks way.
You know, I think it's happening because the more people that wake up, man, start living in freedom and treating people with love and kindness, regardless of their views, that's powerful. That is more powerful than power you can win through, you know, more tactical ways.
Nefarious ways.
I think we've forgotten how to speak as a society and look at other people as human, and then look at their opinions as secondary to that. And, but as far as how does that happen, I think a massive campaign that's kind of stopping in its tracks now. And I think we have a lot more work to do. We all need to start living that way, but it's a beginning.
You know what's crazy is the more that they push us apart side to side, the more they call people extreme left, extreme right, the more they push them down those lines of identity. They really justify a means for control, because these two sides, as they are creating them, they're justifying in and of their creation the right to control them and the justification for the manpower and the authoritative state to control these two different, very different groups of people. And the reality is that we're not different. Where did the day go when we could look at a neighbor and say, you don't agree with me and that's okay. Like, let's just have civil conversations. And at the end of the day, you don't have to believe what I believe, and I don't have to believe what you believe. We're all humans, right? Like, where did the unity go? And I think that's the driving force, is to make it so divisive, to encourage and support and allow that control that we're experiencing.
That was so well said. Listen, it's divide and conquer on steroids. We're getting a master class in divide and conquer, including the tragedy that just happened in Texas. I was listening to the news brief right before. I don't even know who was saying it because I tuned in sort of just right while they were saying it. I didn't get the intro, but you know, MAGA people have no amount of blood is enough for them. It's like, are you joking? Like, that's just, it's so insane that they like, because ultimately, I think you're right. I think everybody wants safety for everybody. And some people are willing to acquiesce freedom for that because they think that will give them safety. And others of us know that that is a very, very wrong assessment of the situation. In fact, nothing could be more wrong. You know, like if we relinquish our freedom of speech, if we relinquish, you know, the ability to protect ourselves, this kind of thing, that will lead to massive destruction. And I think a lot of us are just tuned into that. So we have to find ways of dealing with all these things. And get the conversation to be less emotional and name calling, that which is what the media is trying to do, and ridiculously so with these Canadian truckers calling them racist and stuff. It's just like, but it is like the boy who cried wolf. After a while, everyone just rolls their eyes, you know, except for a few people that really want to hang on to the division because they don't have interesting lives.
Yeah, 100%, man. And it's like, you know, the amount of diversity in this freedom convoy, like it was very sad, but very hilarious. The accusations they're putting against this movement, like, mm-hmm. It's like they're just shooting in the dark. And that's our culture, man, is like, you just shoot something in the dark and it sticks these days. You know, how did we get there? I don't know.
Well, they control the information highways. I mean, there's radio stations like this, TNT, I don't know how many, probably not that many, but like, thank God for this kind of format, you know. Hopefully Elon Musk makes good on his bet to restore freedom of expression on Twitter. Hopefully other social medias follow suit, and hopefully everybody wakes up to how ridiculous these divisive narratives are. But I mean, I have people in my own family that still believe in all these divisive narratives, and you know, I have to like say, hey, you know, it's like, it's wild when you talk to people that really buy into it and they just believe it. It's really weird.
Yeah, it's crazy. When we were out in Ontario, I had a family member who said that we could stay with him until he found out what we were really up to. And when he found out that we were there filming and just literally filming, because we didn't even tell them we were supporting the trucking movement, we were just filming it, and then that in combination with knowing that Andrew was unvaxxed, we got a big X out of our names, and that's family, that's like, that's blood, yeah. It's and I mean, to this day, we don't really have a relationship from that, and that's just one person. I had to come back and try to reignite business relationships, friend relationships, and try to squash this narrative that was being communicated with the legacy media, because that's actually what they thought. They thought that this was a alt-right group that was taking over the country, and that they were, it was a racist Nazi group. And it's like, what? Like, how can something be so far from the actual truth? And then it's crazy when you sit down with the people back here that were informed, that like the relationship, the trust that we have, they believe me now, but that's what we need to execute on mass scale, is like, believe your neighbors, believe your family, believe your friends. They're not trying to lie.
It's tough though, because you know, people have a God-sized hole, you know, and the media fills that in for them. It's like, you need, as a human, you need an anchor for your life. And that's why spirituality is really important and things like that, because, you know, you're giving it to God. And that's who, ideally, if you want to be emotionally and mentally stable. And it's ironic because you get kind of called a loon if you believe in God, but it's actually emotionally intelligent, because otherwise you're going to believe in Anderson Cooper on CNN, and that is going to make you a loon, you know?
Like, yeah, dude. And like, that's the wild, that's the most wild thing. We were just on another call. We were talking about this, and it's like, I don't know, this is my own opinion, but it's like, as human beings, we all worship something, right? So
right.
If you're not going to worship, you know, something transcendent, then the only option is really to worship the culture or information. Right. And like, yeah. It's like its own religion that's being built. Like, they actually have practices, you know, like a certain yeah. type of cancellation. And I'm going to express my morality by choosing to be part of the in-group and labeling this person as, you know, as a sinner or something like that. Like, it's literally bears all likeness to religious practice. It's just nastier.
Yeah, it's cult. It goes cult like, because, you know, the indicative of cult behavior is highly emotional reactive reactions, you know, to
true.
Voices of dissent. That's cult behavior 101, and that's exactly what we're seeing here. And it's just like, and we're seeing it again. And the thing with mass formation psychosis is one leads into the next, leads into the next, leads into the next. And it's all based on loneliness and anxiety. But the thing is, and here's why your film is so important, is because any voices of dissent, any interruptions in that spell do help to keep it at bay. Because once the voices of dissent stop speaking, that's when the atrocities begin.
Yeah, and that really is the mission for this film, is to instill hope in the society, to rekindle faith, and to inspire unity. Yeah, we feel that responsibility heavy on our shoulders, and we know we have an opportunity to make a difference, and that's why we're doing it. We're taking a year out of our life to focus on this story and everything around this story and freedom. And it's our journey now. And we're so happy we're on it.
Dude,
and what you just said, sorry to cut you off, but the wisdom you just said, bro, of when that people who are raising the alarm bell are silenced, that's when the atrocities happen. When we get into the media misinformation chapter, we're calling you, because I want that in the I want that in the doc.
Well, I would love to do that. I have to then now give credit, because I keep bringing this guy up, so I didn't credit him, but it's Matthias Desmet, this guy, mass formation psychosis YouTuber. He's not a YouTuber. He's like some Belgium scientist, so his accent makes him sound extra smart. You should get him. But, dude, if you want me on, just, you know, Trevor, give me a call, whatever. I would love it, you know, because I think I was getting chills hearing you guys talk about it, because I think what you're doing is so important. And I think you have a monster hit on your hands. I mean, it's going to sound silly, I guess, just talking about the way it ended, but the way it ended with y'all's call and the cliffhanger kind of vibe is just, it was beautiful. It was literally beautiful, because it is that creative journey unfolding, and that's how these things go. They go with a spark and a call, and like, to end it like that and then to set up chapter two. And I just know the stories are going to be incredible, and the people that you must have encountered. Talk to me about when you knew you had this film on your hands, like when you started the journey and how that kind of unfolded on a sort of creative level.
Andrew, I'll let you take that, because that was you to start.
Cool, man. Yeah, well, I got a link from my old man, and he sends me like 5 links a day. So the fact that I even opened this one was a shock. And I saw this, like, you know, bear hug convoy, and it stopped me in my tracks. And I was like, this is either going to suck or this is going to be massive, and it's going to be one of, just from a cinematic angle, like, who doesn't want to capture that amount of
trucks.
Demonstration and massive
and
long
trucks,
haulers.
Dude.
Yeah,
and
dude.
Trucks are so beautiful. They're awesome, dude. Like,
they're just, I mean, anyway, they're epic.
They're epic.
And,
they're epic.
So I, anyways, it was back when the website still had the organizers and road captains, their personal cell phone numbers. And I blasted them all. I got through the couple of them. And once they were convinced that I wasn't controlled opposition, you know, they said, okay, you come on the road and we'll give you the behind the scenes access. So I called Jer right away. I was like, bro, I know you're a busy man, but if you could stop everything you're doing and drive with me across the country, I'd appreciate it. And he said, it was literally just like that call. He's like, hey man, let me sleep on it. It calls me back in the morning. He's like, yeah, man, let's go. So that's how it started. And basically just keeping the cameras rolling. And I want to say, first of all, that I appreciate so much that you value the creative element of this storytelling, because we're not interested in making some freedom propaganda stuff that, you know, you see all too often. Like, we want to make a film for everyone where people can understand that A, they've been lied to, and B, come on a human story, a journey of people that are, you know, they have faults just like all of us and they're not perfect. Right. And it was so grassroots and broken, but that's what made it beautiful, you know?
Yes. Yeah, the human spirit, man. It's definitely, that's the other reason I love the ending, is because it spoke to exactly what you just said. It's like, oh, this is going to be amazing. Like, this is amazing. This would be like a Netflix massive thing if Netflix wasn't a propaganda machine, which maybe they're starting to, you know, stop being one, because, you know, you go woke, you go broke, and all these businesses are finding that out lately. So that's another hopeful little tidbit. We'll go to a quick break and we'll be right back with Andrew Peloso and Jeremy Rigotto. I am Mr. Roboto and you're listening to TNT Radio.
You should hear what Mike Ryan's talking about.
And I see this dithering old guy running around pretending to be president. But what's the alternative at the moment? Would Kamala get the nod? Because you got behind her, you've got, it's like a cast of Cocoon. You've got Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, a.k.a. Grandpa from the Munsters. I mean, and that's what he looks like. But you haven't got a whole lot of talent, have you, behind, I mean, including Joe Biden.
It's amazing. It seems like the Democratic Party is entirely gutted at this point. I don't know who the up-and-coming people are. There's that guy in Texas, that Beto fellow, but I mean, he's going to lose the race for governor just miserably. This is a guy who promises he's going to take away everyone's guns, so you don't.
Good luck on that one.
Mike Ryan on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Revealing Ukraine.
Good morning, Mr. Medvedchuk. I'm Oliver Stone.
It started as a peaceful protest in one of Europe's busiest capitals.
Big politics. And suddenly, Ukraine?
Because I care about war and peace, and I'm a citizen of the world. I was in Vietnam War.
Borders of Europe cannot be redrawn with force.
As a citizen of Ukraine, I am a supporter of territorial integrity.
And I learned a lot about Ukraine, and I worked on Ukraine on Fire. I interviewed Mr. Putin.
Yes, Ukraine решила.
I feel sorry for Ukraine because
gunmen took control of another government facility.
Fighting with Moscow-backed rebel groups is ferocious.
This is an act of aggression by Russia.
Russian election interference.
Keep pressing. It's very easy.
Revealing Ukraine continues investigations on the ongoing Ukrainian crisis.
Introduce yourself to people who don't know anything about you.
Paul Manafort consulted for Viktor Yanukovych.
That Manafort was in the pay of who? Where does George Soros figure in all this?
It's the birth of a nation.
Fascist! Ukraine remains on a hair trigger.
The way towards change goes through peaceful protests.
Wall Street people make money on this.
I can say that we, unfortunately, were right.
Russian forces fire upon three naval vessels.
I was not in favor, and still am not in favor, of Ukraine joining NATO.
Russia did not help me.
Take me through the events, through Maidan and up to the present. Why do so many Ukrainians hate Russia so much? Who controls the media? Who shot the protesters? Do you have an idea?
Revealing Ukraine at salemnow.com.
Hey Australia, there's never been a better time to check up on your health. We have a world-class healthcare system that's easy to access, even when you can't be there in person. Telehealth enables you to catch up with your GP or health professional, and the Australian government has now made it permanently available through Medicare. Show your health some love, face-to-face, by phone or video call. Care for your health. Find out more at australia.gov.au. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNTradio.live.
Honk for freedom, honk for joy, honk for love. Canadian truckers on the convoy from up above. And then Andrew Peloso and Jeremy Rigotto went to them to make a film to show us all how we can fit in.
So was it like a red pill journey for you guys? Because when you started, were you aware, was there the propaganda campaign of them being white supremacists and all that? And did you think you were going to go into like a big redneck fest? Because here's a weird thing is, even though I know about all the propaganda, this is how powerful it is. I would still have assumed it was like mostly kind of rednecks, you know? And I mean rednecks in, I'm not saying it in a pejorative way or insulting. I'm saying the good rednecks, you know, there are good rednecks out there, the South, hello. Not every redneck is a racist, for instance. You know, that's another trope that doesn't really, you know, hold much merit. But were you red-pilled along the way? And what was that unfolding like?
Oh, man, we were totally red-pilled. We 100% thought that we were going to go hit the road with a bunch of rowdy truckers and... Right. They were, we didn't know what to expect, to be honest. We didn't know how many of them were going to be there. We didn't know what kind of people we were going to meet. We just sort of tried to jump into the deep end, and we were so surprised. Like, we started driving across the country with these truckers, and on every single overpass and at every single corner, there are families, there are Hutterite families, there's every single race you can imagine, waving flags, cheering everyone on. And there was farm equipment going through the prairies that was just lifted up, holding massive flags and support Canada. We love you. And then it wasn't just the truckers that drove across the country. It was families in their cars. It was different, like every single time. It was literally the sum of Canada. Drove across the country. It wasn't the truckers. The truckers initiated it, but everyone went. And it was so crazy. You see truckers hugging, like, families, little kids running up and just like, oh, it was so awesome. The Hutterites on the side of the roads, like, I've never met friendlier people in my life. I have a story for you. We were driving through towns. And as we were driving through towns, people would be in the streets just trying to fill your car up with food. And we're turning it down at this point because our dash is covered in sandwiches and like there's sandwiches and drinks and stuff like filled up to our knees in our car. And they're amazing. Still putting it in, saying like, you're going to need it. Like, go get them kind of thing. So we definitely were red pilled. And you know what else we were red pilled about? And I have to say this is, being from Alberta and out west, we always thought that Quebec was the farthest thing from us in ideology and in understanding, mm-hmm. because like that's a pretty separatist group. They've tried to exit Canada a couple times, or at least like the groups French, of them have
the
tried.
French speaking, yeah. right? Yeah,
exactly. The French speaking.
They want to be France.
So they want to be Quebec.
Right, you're right. My bad.
Themselves.
Sorry, Quebec. I know better. I love Montreal.
But what's so amazing is that we got there and these guys are amazing. Like they're the most loving group of people. We got to hug them. There's Canada flags flying with Quebec flags, flying with Alberta flags, flying with Don't Tread on Me flags, and like it was pretty crazy. It was literally the sum of all people in Canada involved in this movement. And I for one am a little bit embarrassed that I thought that it would be anything but that. But it just goes to show how much, even if you think you understand what's going right. on, you really don't.
Yeah. That rings so true. It's interesting because that's what made me think of it. Because even to this day, my view of it just since this conversation is changing. It's like, it's so interesting. The unity response to all that divisiveness. Were you shocked that Canada descended into tyranny as hardcore as it did? It was like one of the leaders, unfortunately, in that department. And Canada was always known as America done right, you know, it kind of fell off a little. All due respect to Canada, and it isn't the people, obviously, but
it fell off hard.
Y'all fell off hard. Come back, Canada. what talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it was wild, man. Like, I still remember. I'm gonna just tell this story, Jer. I remember the last night as we're making our way into Arnprior, which is a small town outside of Ottawa. Dude, I've never been in a moving rave like of that magnitude in my life.
Right.
Everyone's windows down, minus 20 degrees Celsius. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, but something. And
cold.
It's freezing. Everyone's windows are down. Everyone's blaring whatever music they want. There's grad parties. You know, EMS people taking a break, just like waving flags. People are having bonfires and all of this, and it's going all the way in to Arnprior to get into Ottawa. And it's just a party, man, on wheels. And it's so fun. You feel so happy. And that's being juxtaposed with our prime minister saying it's a small fringe movement. And it was laughable because it's like, who wants to go down as the prime minister who tried to ban and use the Emergencies Act against the best party in Canadian history? It was a rolling party for a week that then culminated into the biggest party in Canada, in Ottawa. It was nothing but a good time. And like, it's just, so yeah, the level of coercion and tyranny and, you know, the police action that was taken and you know, our guys in blue, like there were a lot of them that declared sick days because they just didn't want to be involved. They couldn't on their own conscience. But the only reason why those who did use police action against Canadian citizens did what they did, in my opinion, is because they were brainwashed by their own media. That was every day around the clock talking about the extreme movement that's happening in Ottawa when you have little kids in bouncy castles and like, there was this big semi truck right by Parliament Hill that we appropriately named Club Convoy because they had a rotating spin of DJs going till 2 a.m. every night. It was that fun, dude.
Man, that's crazy. I can't imagine the cinematography that we're in store for. I mean, just hearing you describe it just puts so much like visually stunning imagery in my mind about what that's going to be. And I really hope there's cuts between Trudeau's weird rhetoric, and weird is an understatement, devilish, crazy rhetoric, and the party you're describing. I hope you kind of do quick
you
cuts
best
back
believe
and forth.
Brother
good best I hope that happens.
And I have to say it's pretty cool because we do have some pretty incredible cinematography. Actually have the largest collection of media around this event, I think, in the world, because what we did when we started the journey, we realized that we weren't going to be able to film this all by ourselves. This is a massive movement. So we started a website. Andrew's sitting there in the passenger seat as I'm driving, trying to film at the same time. And he's programming a website, getting a website up called Trucking for Freedom. And he puts a WeTransfer link in there. And we started going live on social media and directing people towards that link to drop their footage. And we were getting 60,000 hits a day, and it was people dropping footage that they were recording, going over overpasses, professional cinematographers, drone footage, coast to coast, and then not even just coast to coast, but around the world, because there were convoys going on in like Australia, the United States, over in Europe. Like, it was going everywhere. So yeah, we got some pretty crazy cinematic footage, and it's wild because it's not what you'd expect. It's everything from cell footage to like full on cinematic footage that has been captured. But it was really the world creating this documentary for the world. It wasn't just Andrew and Jeremy creating something for whoever wants to watch. We partnered with all of Canada and all of the world to get this footage. So it's special.
You guys, man, you guys tapped into some God level stuff, man. I'm telling you, this is going to be massive. I'm wondering, that begs the question though, too. It's amazing that you got all that footage, but how daunting was the editing process? And now I know why it's a 6-part miniseries.
Dude, it's, pray for us, man. It's like,
because you're still in that. Yeah, you're still.
Oh, we're still in. That's why we had a choice. When we got back, it's like, okay, like, we're not releasing something substandard. We're going to make the best thing we possibly can. And we both were committed to that. So it was either wait a year in the edit and make a masterpiece that we abandon, or do it in phases and do it 6 times so that at least we can have our sanity that we are giving the story to those who want to see it earlier before this falls on deaf ears. So
yeah,
anyways, we decided to do that. But man, like, the crunch on this, like, we have an offline server holding this footage. And I remember the night before the release for chapter one, and I'm there at 3 a.m. I get my, our music producer sends us the final stuff. It's like a 700 megabyte file just for the sound effects. And I'm like porting it into this editing file. And dude, I move the mouse and the thing crashes, and it keeps crashing for like 2.5-3 hours because it's so big. And I honestly, honest to God, I got on my knees and I said,
prayed.
You gotta make this work. Like, your will be done, but please, like, people need to see this. Bro, 5 minutes later, I look at the machine and it's rendering. And I'm like,
oh my
God, doing a dance by myself, complete ecstasy, just like, it's wild. Yeah.
That's incredible, man. That's insane. That's so great. I love that. I mean, this could go, I mean, it's such a great choice, by the way, because this is timely. You're getting chapter one out. Chapter one is out in a timely fashion. So that's really, really smart of you guys to do it this way. And who knows, it might be more than 6 chapters. I mean, why did you decide on 6?
Yeah,
I think we decided on 6 to keep our sanity and to be able to have some type I think with 6 chapters, it gives us enough time, because it's not just the 6 chapters we're going to create. We actually do intend to release a full length documentary that will combine all of the chapters. And I think that releasing 6 chapters, one every 45 days, is going to allow us the time necessary to be able to say, yes, we did this well. And now we can release the full length. So the chapters are, chapter one was how we got here, which is what you saw. Chapter two is going to be called a wildfire movement. It's when we drive across the country and this really does move like wildfire, like spreads from the hearts of people. Like it's indescribable. It's a total miracle. And then the third chapter is going to be called Heaven on Earth, because that's what it felt like when we got to Ottawa, when that very first day, 1.4 million people showed up in Ottawa, and the mainstream media said there were something like 200 people. So, so that's going to be chapter number three is Heaven on Earth. And then the chapter four is going to be a democratic or authoritative, which sums itself up, just talking about starting to see some intervention that probably shouldn't be there. And then chapter five is going to be the emergency's what, sort of playing on the Emergencies Act and the abuse mm-hmm. that the Freedom Convoy experienced when it was all broken up. And then the last chapter is sort of a call to action. It's where do we go from here? And we think that's going to be able to round this story out well enough to be able to present in a full length talk.
It's great because also this sort of makes it so that you guys can't fall prey to perfectionism either. It's great to have creativity works best when you're sort of galvanized into action and you can't be too precious about it. That's when creativity is on its fire, you know? So anyway, listen, gotta go quick break. We'll be right back with Andrew Peloso and Jeremy Rigotto. I am Mr. No, I won't make that joke again. I'm Let's Joseph Arthur. You're listening to I'm Mr. Roboto. You're listening to TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
Former President Donald Trump will be very pleased to hear that his endorsed representative, Marjorie Taylor Greene, won with a massive 70% of the vote in Georgia's House Republican District 14 primary. She was challenged by five other GOP candidates, of which her nearest competitor, Jennifer Strawn, received only 17% of the vote. Marjorie Taylor Greene ran a strong conservative campaign and called to impeach Joe Biden, fire Fauci, ban the vaccine and mask mandate, and expose the stolen 2020 presidential election. While she fought against the military-industrial complex and voted against the latest $40 billion military and aid package for Ukraine, her opponent Strawn claimed she served as a megaphone for Putin and that, quote, "Americans know that Russia is the aggressor and the sole cause of this crisis," unquote. I would say the voters in this district knew better. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Get breaking news on your phone when it happens. Download our app from the Google Play and App Store now.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back talking with Andrew Peloso and Jeremy Rigotto, and we're talking about Trucking for Freedom.com chapters 1-6, their film they made about the trucking convoy. Did you ever see Chris Christopherson's movie called Convoy?
I didn't, no.
You got to look that one up. That's a great one. Okay. You're going to love that. That's a laugh. Chris Christopherson. So the overreach with Trudeau, I mean, he's basically becoming the most hated man in, I'm sure, in Canada right now, like and the world over, really. I mean, he's kind of ruined himself with all this like weird fascist character he put on. What's been the outcome of the mandates there and all the stuff about freezing people's bank accounts and everything like that? What's been the fallout? Has this extended freedom or has it had no effect or the opposite effect? What's been the result?
Yeah. Great question. Yeah. We've seen provincially. So our states lifting of mandates, a lot of them, there's still some provinces that have some lingering of protocol, but generally speaking, all the mandates lifted right around the time of this convoy, and not one politician said it was because of the convoy. In fact, all they said is they called it illegal blockades. So, you know, we'll leave that up to viewers to decide what happened, but you just saw them starting to fall like a house of cards. With Prime Minister Trudeau, you know, all of the federal institutions that him and his party have control over, as well as with a minority party called the NDP in Canada that have basically formed in an unofficial alliance to vote through anything Trudeau says, federally regulated stuff regarding this pandemic is still in effect. So an unvaccinated Canadian cannot fly, board an airplane or a train or work for federal government being unvaccinated, and it's still that way. I can't tell you how frustrating it is personally to not be able to, you know, before this thing, I was flying about 40 times a year. And I haven't touched an airplane in a while. And so, and we are in a big country, right? Like trying to drive around, man, is not an easy thing. Can't be doing a freedom convoy every week.
No, I relate. I relate. I just moved to Arizona. And when I drove across the country, I saw lots of trucking convoys for freedom. And I saw the overpasses with signs. That was happening in America, too. I don't know. I was surprised to see it. I started seeing it in Ohio and I saw it. But I was in New York for 25 years. And the last 6 months I was there, I couldn't, you know, I could still fly. So I can imagine that's even more sort of harrowing or whatever that word is. But, you know, I couldn't go to restaurants or yoga or all the things I like to do, clubs, this, that. And it really has this degrading effect on you. It's interesting. Totally. It's like you think, oh, I can overcome this. I'm immune to this. I see through this, so it's not going to affect me and I'll keep my spirit up. But it does affect you, you know?
Totally. Yeah, it definitely plays an effect on every single person. And it's wild that there's been so much attention put to these vaccines and their importance, but next to none on mental health. And so unfortunate. I've got a dog right behind me. Unfortunate that we experienced things like what happened this week in Texas, and we can't even open up our eyes to understanding that maybe things like these mandates have been causing wild amounts of depression. Maybe things like these mandates have been breaking people's backs and spines of hope and willpower. Like, it's just been one massive gaslighting experience for the entire world. And it's sickening, honestly.
It is sickening. They're not concerned with your health. It's obvious. At this point, those shots are a dumpster fire, and everybody paying vague attention knows that. So the fact that those are even an issue, you know, and the fact that all the treatment modalities that are safe and effective, including just like take, you know, the basics, like a little bit of fasting, good diet, stay away from sugar, vitamins, proper nutrition, exercise, sunlight, things like that, that are as old as time, you know. In the situation in Texas, it's just like high time. The schools need armed guards and they need one point of entry, one point of exit, and a metal detector like on planes. When's the last time there was a mass shooting on a plane? I'm sorry. I mean, one guy shows up in 1986 with like wires sticking out of a shoe and I have to take my shoes off at the airport every time I get on a plane now, you know? And I mean, and I know it wasn't in 1986. I'm saying that for comedic effect, but like, you know,
it's a good point.
It's just like, it's time. It's dangerous. And you can't take away our Second Amendment. Sorry. That's obviously a path to total destruction. I mean, I think America is as free as it is, a large part because of our Second Amendment. We're not about to surrender that. So it's time for armed guards. And it's time to take these school security very seriously, the way they take airport security. That's just it.
Yeah. I mean,
that's as basic as it gets. And then you can stop the rhetoric of screaming at people because they don't want to give up their right to bear arms. It's just like, job done. I'm glad I solved that problem. Now we can move on.
You know, it's so crazy for how many people that proclaim that they're so upset about what's happened down in Texas and at all of these mass school shootings. It's wild because I noticed that a lot of these politicians have personal guards and courthouses have personal guards and banks. Celebrities have personal guards and you know, it's funny. Yeah. Banks have personal guards. Protect almost everything has armed guards except for the most vulnerable. And it's like, you guys, like you're creating this problem.
Yeah. And you can't say, oh, we can't afford it. You just gave $40 billion to Ukraine. You can afford it. time to real security at schools. The end. Right away. Right away. Like tomorrow. Start. You know, that's what should happen. And anyone who cares for kids, you know, I don't want to fall into the same divisive rhetoric, though, and say stuff like that. Anyone who cares for, you know, but it's obvious that that's the solution. Listen, what do you guys think of the fact that the truckers stood up for freedom? And then, like, in New York, it was like the city workers. It was like, you know, firemen and policemen even, and you know, sanitation and transportation and these figures in our society that would not have thought of as like the sort of rebellious freedom fighting. We would have thought our artists would have stood up. We would have thought our musicians might have come together. Instead, you have the Foo Fighters saying, you got to get the shot if you want to come to our show. And you have Rage Against the Machine doing that, which is just ridiculous. They're no longer allowed to call themselves Rage Against the Machine. I'm sorry. You lost the right to call yourself that. I love Rage Against the Machine, dude. Musically, they're amazing. But I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Guys, you lost your name. I love your band. You know, like, you guys rock. Like, I'm not hating on your music, but y'all lost your name. Sorry.
Dude, I got to share this with you. This is a little bit off, and then I'll off the beaten path, and then I'll talk about that for sure about the truckers. Mm-hmm. But
I was Neil at Young.
A punk, I was at a punk show. A month and a half ago, and I saw the bassist in a pretty heavy band doing sound check with a mask on, and I was like, "Where's the punk rebellion like?" Spirit gone to, like, you're in the middle of a sweaty pit. I'm pretty sure we're all getting it if we're gonna get it. And but to speak towards the truckers, my dad used to tell me, like, you know, you work by the sweat of your hands, you'll never be hungry. And I think there's the hardworking approach, you know, those who are working more blue collar jobs. They can teach all of us something. And I think the closer you are to hard work, the closer you are to, I guess, your humanity. And, you know, they're not in the laptop class that are, you know, just twittering away all day and getting paid for their opinions. They're working their tail off, man. And I think they are perhaps the most reasonable sounding board right now in our society for coming back to some semblance of a unifying democracy that stands for true values, because, you know, they haven't bought in the same way. And so they tuned us all up, and those truckers they're beauties, man. They are tough, and they got a grit that, you know, you don't see around that much anymore.
Yeah. And the crazy part about the truckers was, and it's so ironic, but they were, and it's so characteristic of our society and how we treat people when they're benefiting society, quote unquote, they're heroes. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as they aren't, they're canceled. Because that's the story of the truckers. If you look at it, I remember the beginning of COVID, and the truckers were the heroes. The truckers were the saviors. Yeah. We were thanking truckers just like we were thanking doctors and nurses for getting things to our houses. Healthcare workers too. We were thanking these people for sacrificing so that we could stay at home and we could put this thing to rest. And then to 2 years later, when Omicron is like a gift from God, that is just, and the data is there. Like, no one's getting exponentially sick because of this thing. It's not like one of the original variants. And then to say, oh yeah, by the way, we're putting all these lockdowns and mandates on cross-border truckers. It's like, okay, you sort of just that was the straw that broke the camel's back right there. And it was so cool to have the truckers take a stand and really let all of Canada stand on their shoulders, because it gave a voice to the doctors. It gave a voice to the lawyers. It gave a voice to all these people that have been trying to speak against this thing since day number one. And now all of a sudden they have a voice. So you're right. It's so cool how, like, how the people that are working with their hands are creating a platform and really creating the foundation for the people with all the degrees to speak.
Yeah, the spirit of the country, really, the people that are sort of on the ground, literally and figuratively. Uh-oh, there's that 1 minute music chiming in. Dudes, you got to come back on the show when chapter two comes out. Deal?
Deal.
Oh, deal. We'd love that.
All right. I can't wait. So tell everyone how to find the documentary and watch chapter one, which is amazing.
Truckingforfreedom.com. It's free. It will always be free. You can cast it to your TVs. Enjoy the popcorn. And chapter two is coming out Canada Day, July 1. So thank you for your time. Nice. Thank you for listening. And bro, thank you for everything you're doing. You're awesome.
Thank you guys, thank man. You we'll so talk much. Again soon. God bless you. And shout out Trevor for hooking this all up. Trevor Fitzgibbon. All right, everybody. We'll be right back on TNT Radio.